total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you my cloudy day gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Love me in your arms. You were my shelter from the storm. When all you were right there all along. I never The issues.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
I almost rather be at a dentist's office. Having a root canal without antiseptic. Well, good morning anyway. A quiver, your quiver is full of victory. Reading here about Joash, king of Israel, and his father had done wickedness before the Lord. And he had followed in his father's footsteps. He was part of that golden calf club, idol worshiper. And yet he was king of what? Israel. And we want to look at this story here and see what we can draw from that. Shall we pray? Gracious Father in heaven, we invite your spirit to be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When he gets word that Elijah is sick to the point of death, he goes down there to see him. Now, this is a man that doesn't have that intimate relationship with God. But he has a more intimate relationship with the man of God. That's almost like a Seventh-day Adventist who doesn't believe in the second coming. It don't make no kind of sense. How are you going to not have an intimate relationship with God and yet you with the man of God? And we find ourselves doing the same thing ourselves. Oh, there's times that I'll just rather call on the pastor. Maybe the Bible worker. Or the head elder or somebody else. We would depend on them more than sometimes we do God. And not that it's wrong per se, but God is a what? Jealous God. And so he goes down and he sees Elijah. He weeps over him and he says, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Meaning that I have all the confidence in you. Really, the Israel didn't have many chariots, but because Elijah was a man of faith, he was a man that no matter what how difficult the event was, or how overwhelming the enemy was, the faith of Elijah was there, and they would always win, or they would have victory. And so here we find him now on his deathbed. The king's come down. And so Elijah's trying to, right now, he said, "Well, let me try to put him in the right frame of mind in his relationship with God. And he tells him to get a bow and what? A bow and arrow. And he tells him to, he gets up out of his bed. He's very sick. And he's wanting to teach him something. Sometimes we find ourselves, you know, we have issues. We have problems. Marriage isn't going right. Kids going crazy. And we come to the Lord sometimes and, or we say, well, maybe the Pathfinder leaders or the AY leaders or somebody can help me with these kids or something. I'm just at wit's end. Or my marriage isn't right and I just don't know what to do. And we find ourselves in that same situation, and he told the king to get an arrow and to face east and shoot the arrow. Now, arrows are meant to be shot. You just can't be throwing it at anybody, but it has to be shot. And so when he was shooting the arrow, you always have to have a what? A target or something to hit it. And he was just shooting out the window. And when he shot the arrow, Elijah was felt impressed to say, the arrow is the Lord of deliverance. The Lord of deliverance from Syria. And he told him to strike the ground, as it were. And there he was shooting this arrow. And he really wasn't aiming at Syria, but he was aiming at where? Where were they going to have the battle? In Aphek. And they were shooting in the direction. He said, that's where you're going to have the problem. And sometimes we find ourselves, we don't know sometimes which way to turn to offer our solutions or what we find ourselves in. And we just hopefully trusting in the Lord that he would lead and guide us accordingly. And so he had him to shoot the arrows, and he told him that you shoot it and you will have victory. Continue to shoot it until you have victory over Syria. This continually shooting, these arrows are arrows of faith. Faith. And we all have a measure of what? We all have a measure of faith. Sometimes we don't use it enough. We limit ourselves as to how much we want to use it. And yet, we all have this measure of faith. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the first elder or the Bible worker. You all have a measure of faith. Your quiver is full of victories. But you just don't know it sometimes. And here he was trying to tell the king to get him to understand it. And it's just like taking a test. He done gave you the answers, his open book, and you still mess it all up. And here he told him to take out his arrows and strike the ground with them. And so the king gets up and he shoots, but he only shoots three. We said at first he didn't have very much faith, a good relationship with God, but it just goes to show you when you don't have a relationship with God, it just kind of trickles right on down, because really he didn't really believe that if he did any more than that, it was going to change anything. He just did not believe that. And so the man of God was kind of wroth with him. He was mad and upset. And he told him, he said, look, you should have struck the ground how many times? Five or six times. sometimes we pray for something. Well, I was at prayer meeting last month, and I prayed for that, but then nothing happened. You always have your quiver full of faith, but you fail to shoot the arrows. The king only shot three because he was saying to himself, it don't make any sense. I'm shooting arrows, and they just falling out there nowhere. What is this accomplishing? And he told him at the beginning, he said, these arrows are for victory over Syria. And he should have been just shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting, but he didn't do that. And he said, you're going to have three victories over Syria, and that's all. And sometimes we only get one shot at a question, when we have victory that's sure for us, and we only have sometimes just one time to get it right, and that's all, just one time. The rich young ruler only had the one time to get it right. He went away what? Sorrowfully. We find ourselves sometimes, like you said, we just cannot think that my prayers are getting through. And we're still thinking that it's the pastor or the Bible worker, their prayers will get through more than yours. But God said, I've given each one of you what? A measure of faith. There's a little park outside of, in Washington, D.C., outside from the White House. It's called Lafayette Park. At this park, most of the time, they're playing chess there. I've been there to that little park a couple of times. Instead of going on a tour through the White House or seeing the monuments, I was in the park watching them play chess, too. I was out there watching them. But there was a young man named Stan. He just loved to watch those old guys, and they did battle during the day. Every opportunity that Stan could get, he's down there at the park watching those guys play chess. One day, the school teacher took his class, to an art museum. And as they were walking around in the art museum, Stan saw a painting of a chessboard. And under the caption, it says, checkmate. And so Stan was standing out looking at this painting. The class kind of moved on. Pretty soon they missed Stan. They went back, and there he was, still looking at the painting. And the teacher said, come on, Stan, let's go. You're holding us up. And Stan says, the picture is not right. And the teacher looked at it. All right, Stan, but come on. He said, but you don't understand. It's incorrect. And the teacher said, well, Stan, what do you know about art? Stan didn't know much about art, but he knew about what? He knew about chess. He pointed out to the teacher, he said, you see, the king has one more move. Wait a minute, let me. When it's like the devil got you in the crosshairs. He got that laser beam between your eyes, just like he did Adam and Eve. And when he calls Adam and Eve to sin, he declared, checkmate, I got him. Everything is all mine now. But the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords always has what? one more move. Grace, what he gave to us was grace. They took Jesus to the cross. They nailed him there. Then they buried him in the grave. The devil said, this is it now. Checkmate. I got him. It's all over. But the king what? Has one more move. I'll rise again. One more move. I think sometimes we get this from the doctor. It tells you that you got stage 4 cancer. You only have just so long to live. Devil looks at you. Checkmate. But the King of Kings says what? Has what? One more move. I am the what? The resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he has what? Though he be dead, yet shall he what? Yet shall he live. No matter what the situation you find yourself in, no matter how hard it is, how difficult it is, the king always has what? One more move. The arrows of faith that you have, whatever the situation is, my marriage isn't right, or the kids are going buck wild, whatever it is, you got to continue to shoot your arrows. Amen? Let me see my armor bearer here. Can you give me my thing under there? Yeah, if you plan on leaving for the sermons a week ago, okay. We don't exercise enough faith. We don't shoot enough. We like the king. We want to stop before the victory is there. We just give up. And not realize the king said, I got one more move for you. I can answer your prayer, but and he says, I can hear the prayers of the preacher. I can hear the prayers of the Bible worker, but just maybe he wants to hear from you. Just maybe. He said, I want to hear how you feel. And we think we got to use them big 15-syllable words and everything. Mm-mm. My prayer is just like that. If I just say a couple words, because the Holy Spirit takes the prayers and do what with them? Proofs them, presents them to God with groaning. So my prayers are just like your prayers. And so that's the way it is. God wants to hear from you. And he says you have victory. You have a quiver full. You think that maybe I only have 2 left. I'll just try to hang on to these 2 for a rainy day. It's a monsoon out there now. It's pouring down rain now. The thing is, we want to make sure that we keep shooting. We keep persisting until we have what? Victory. It's like the lady that Elijah came upon them, and they only had, like she said, only had 2 little arrows left. She said, all we're going to do is cook this little cake and eat it and die. But he says, no. Do one for me first. Because the king has what? Every time she went back there to tap out the little thing that had the flour in, there was always some there. Amen. There was always a little bit more oil there. Amen? Amen. The biggest thing that's going to send Seventh-day Adventists to hell, lack of faith. you're not shooting enough arrows. You're hanging on to them. You're not even stringing your bow. Some of you are not even pulling. I imagine God said, "What's the matter with you? I give you faith. I everybody got them. All you got to do is just continue to shoot." And you shoot, like you said, it may not seem like you're striking anything, but you wanted to get that victory, amen? You want to get that victory. I think about our young people. When God closes out this work, it's going to be the young people that's going to help carry it, bring it close. And he looks at this motley bunch that we have here at Southside. And he says, you know, some of them went to church school. Some of the parents said, well, maybe it doesn't make any difference. They send them to public schools and everything. I know when me and my wife got married, and the one thing we said that no matter what, we were committed to sending them to Christian education, no matter what, whatever it was, however much it took, we was going to commit ourselves to sending our kids to Christian school. Sacrifice. Wilma had to do a little work to help out. As the girls got a little old enough, they was able to help out at the academy themselves, to help defer the cause, whatever it took to put them through. We had to continue to do what? Shoot those arrows. Shoot those arrows. And when you find yourself, you think you're getting out of, you're getting down to your last one, God always supplies you with faith. He always, your quiver is always full. Victory should be yours all the time. All the time. When we have our youth, the devil's looking at them, and he said, here at Southside, he wants to declare checkmate. But I'm thinking that our young people they got a little bit more faith in that. I think they do. And matter of fact, I just want to invite our young people to come down at this time. Because you're the one that the devil said you won't be able to stand. You won't be able to carry this gospel. You won't be able to be leaders. And we see that their generation is coming up, but if we don't prepare them, they're not going to be able to be the leaders that we need to be. Amen? And so I'd just like to invite our young people to come down this morning. It's you. It's the youth. I know there's some here. Was the devil right? Is it checkmate? Because the king always has a what? One more move. We want to take that one more move. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. We want to take that one more move. Just let them know. And he says, suffer the little children to come also. Amen. Let them come, because they're the leaders. He said that he's declaring checkmate, that you won't be the leaders that you need to be. But we're saying here today, you're going to make a difference. Amen? Amen? We as parents, we are leaders. We are shooting those arrows of faith. We believe in you. Amen? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think those who are young at heart want to stand up and join with them. Amen? But I just appreciate them so much. Dr. Longo, where are you at? Dr. Longo. Okay, yeah. Remember, the king always has what? One more move.